It's Wednesday, October 9th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 314 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 31 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
My name is Stu.
And this is Stork.
All right, so in case you're wondering who the heck are Stu and Stork, you need to get out there and listen to some other second-rate podcasts that are on the
Hey, now.
I want to thank Stu and Stork for joining us. Stu and Stork are guest hosting with us from the Happy Jacks podcast, which is another really excellent gaming podcast that's out there. And we're doing a thing. It's just for this week. Well, you guys will hear it over 2 weeks because I'm still dealing with the throat thing. So we're recording episodes back to back. But they will be joining us for 2 episodes of our show, and then we will be joining them for an episode of their show, which we'll be recording later this week. We just thought it'd be fun to do some kind of crossover stuff because, you know, we love what they do. So we wanted to have them on the show to kick some stuff around.
It's awfully nice of you to let them not do your laundry for a week so they can record with us.
Well, you know, I do appreciate their setup because one of the things that I've come to learn since we've been, you know, talking to them here over Google Hangout is they record in their garage, which means they're already closer to the mower, to the laundry machines, to, you know, all the things that I need them to
just reach over, throw in a load while they're recording.
And it does take a little longer. Chuck and Lonnie were closer. Now I've got to send my stuff all the way out to California or wait for them to drive up here in some beat up VW bus.
That's true.
But the point is,
because to Midwesterners, that's what all Californians drive.
Yes.
From their single city of San Diego, San Francisco, and L.A.
Yes, which is one giant
giant city.
Yes.
In full disclosure, I drove a beat up Volkswagen bus for years.
Just so you know.
Yeah. The windows covered and everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We know what Californians didn't make meth out of it, though. We've seen the movies.
Yeah. Including the ones that were supposed to be in Missouri, but had mountains and palm trees. But hey. So, all right, the topic we're going to kick around today is one that, as best as I could tell in shopping back through our library, we have kind of talked about in passing on numerous occasions, but I don't believe we have ever dedicated a show to. And if we have, I apologize, but we've certainly never done it with Stu and Stork, so this will be brand new material. But the topic we want to talk about is giving game masters feedback after the game is over. Because obviously, as the game goes on, what you're thinking of it, what you like, what you don't like, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of, what's bringing out your enjoyment and the enjoyment of the other players is something the game master needs to know. And if the game master is going to grow in the art form, then he or she needs some kind of honest and useful feedback. But you got to balance that with the fact that a lot of times people are really putting themselves on the line, and being a hobby, they don't want to be told their baby's ugly. I mean, you don't want to tear them down, right? So where do you guys want to start this?
Unless they're really bad.
I'll start this one by giving Chad a little feedback, something I've never told him.
Oh, crap. I'm wonderful, right? I'm the most handsome GM you've ever had GM for you.
Why do I feel like I'm in the middle of a marriage counseling? Wow. I'm feeling awkward here.
So going back to the last game that you ran, the Spiders of Your Mind, which was the game system you made.
Yeah, it was just a one shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game. There was one moment in there where we rolled and we asked you, okay, what do we discover on how we stop this horrible magical thing that's going on?
Right.
And your answer was, tell me what he says. That sometimes bothers me. And when a game system asks for the players to create things, that's one thing. But a lot of times, one of the things that I want as a player out of gaming is to uncover the mystery and figure out the story going on. And it takes me out of that process when the GM looks to me and says, okay, what does it say? Sometimes I'm cool with that. And if it's not anything big, but if it's a major point in the story, I want the GM to tell me that.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and I empathize with you completely. But no,
can you repeat back to Wayne what he just said?
Well, and it's one of those things where after it's one of those things where after the game you ask for feedback, like we always do.
Yes,
and I think generally I give feedback, but for some reason there are things like that where I just never say anything.
All psychobabble aside, I do hear what you're saying completely. I understand that. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I do agree. Not that it's an attack and I need to defend myself, but in my nominal defense, The Spiders of My Mind, which is a game that I wrote, which I have not yet released, the whole game is supposed to be like that. It is supposed to be all player. It's like Inspectors in a way where the game master.
But it didn't seem like that until that point.
Right.
And this is kind of what I'm talking about with feedback is sometimes it's hard to have that feedback conversation because as the GM, when you get it, you want to be fully open to feedback. You want to always say, I'll take whatever feedback you give. But when you get that feedback, sometimes when you're right there on the spot, your immediate reaction is going to be to get defensive, even though you don't want to.
Well, see, I wonder, I've given people feedback, I've almost never play it, 95% of the time I GM. But when I've given people feedback, and specifically not praise, but constructive criticism.
There is a difference.
When that has happened, sometimes you find out, the guy didn't really want feedback. What he wanted was praise. You know, he wanted a pat on the back. He didn't want you to pick apart this one section that maybe he was proud of, but you thought it didn't work. And in those kinds of situations, I think players, rightfully so, get kind of gun shy and start to say, oh, yeah, of course you want feedback. Yeah, that's what you said last time.
And what comes off as an explanation from the GM's point of view seems like
You're being defensive.
You're being defensive. Well, let me explain what you meant. You know,
like the situation with Wayne here. You know, Wayne said, I didn't like that specific facet of the player agency. And my response is, well, that's part of the rules. And Wayne did say
sometimes he likes that.
Yeah. And sometimes he doesn't. That conversation can be interpreted in a variety of different ways by a variety of different people who could be in a variety of different moods. It could be Wayne is sort of attacking my style, and then I'm coming back and defending myself with this vigorous, no, it's not me, it's the game. It could be something that's very constructive. It's like, you know, I felt this about the game, and this is how I saw it. And I'm like, I hear what you're saying. You are correct. And this is why I did it. You have to.
That's why I wanted to use an actual example, because I think it helps this conversation.
You know, in talking about this, I think feedback is dangerous in email, because in email,
there's no context.
There's no facial expression.
No tone of voice.
If we had a video camera here with Wayne and I's conversation, I'm a hand talker. If you did not know that, because I'm Italian. Gesticulating. I'm Italian. I'm gesticulating wildly with my hands right now.
So am I. I hit the mic all the time.
I might have done that 4 or 5 times an episode. But the thing is that because it's here, because Wayne and I are here, I gesture with my hands. I have a certain tone of voice. I hope I have a look on my face that is adding to my general handsomeness. And Wayne can talk and he can give a tone of voice and he can give body language and stuff. I think feedback is kind of dangerous in email or on a forum.
Or in a case where you're being recorded on a podcast and you're not expecting it.
Right. And so
you're welcome, by the way.
Yes. Because there's no tone of voice. There's no context. Well, there's context, but there's no immediacy to like facial expressions and tone and that sort of thing. It is just it comes off to the lizard part of your brain of I did not like how you ran the game. And then the response is, this is why I ran the game. Why are you being so defensive?
Let me unpack that earlier statement. I want to backtrack a second here. Sure. If you're the GM and you're soliciting comments, there's a couple of different ways to do it. You can do it right then and there after the game. You could have people write you notes or letters right then and there so that way they don't feel like they have to embarrass themselves in front of other people. Or they can send you an email later. If you, as the GM, ask them to email, you know, if you think of something later or you know, if you feel uncomfortable talking about it in front of the other players or me and send me an email, I'm okay with that. And that kind of negates your argument about being super sensitive. I mean, if the email appears out of the blue, that's one thing. But if you've asked for feedback and somebody sends out a well-thought-out email, you're going to negate any tone of voice or hand waving or any of that, because it's something you've asked for. And in many ways, I think that's the best way to give feedback, because it's late, you've eaten a bunch of popcorn, you've had a lot of beer, you got to think about driving home, and you're not in the best frame of mind to give great feedback. Yeah. Later on, as you decompress, you're like, yeah, there was this moment that didn't work, and you can write it out and send them an email. But it have to have GM buy-in when you do that. Otherwise, like you said, you're going to piss people off.
Well, role-playing game, I think, like any complex story, takes a certain amount of time to deconstruct mentally.
Yeah, and right after the game, you're still in the afterglow.
Right, and
I agree.
This was something that we ran into with the Dresden game, where Wayne asked for feedback, and everyone was being as honest as they could. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this old saying, but I didn't lie, the truth changed. And it's that it's that kind of thing where Wayne asked for the feedback, and everyone's like, yeah, it's fine, it's fine. But then as people got to talk, and we suddenly started realizing, no, there are huge problems here. Mm-hmm. There are big elements to certain characters that aren't working, and a whole themes that are kind of starting to take over the storyline that were never meant to. And we started to realize there are all these big problems 3 days after the game occurred. The feedback we gave to Wayne was honest, but it took us some time to really fully process what we had experienced and where things were probably headed from there.
But that's not a bad thing, though, right? Because no, he did ask for the feedback. And they got it fixed, yes?
No.
So you're really honest. It got fixed in a way.
It got fixed in a way. Maybe not the
they
best way.
They got addressed.
It got resolved.
Redressed.
The campaign went on. The campaign went very well. There was a second story arc of the campaign. So it did get addressed, just not the way I would have liked it to have been addressed.
Yeah. The other thing that I think I want to kind of throw in there to one of the points that was brought up earlier about how the game master is going to react to feedback. You know, we always talk about how game masters need to know their groups. Well, I think the groups need to know their game masters, know their personality, know where they're at creatively, know where they're at psychologically at that moment in their life. Are they going through a lot of drama and trauma and things like that? Because if you've got somebody who's new and gun shy and they solicit feedback, you need to give them a lot of praise and be very gentle in the way that you criticize, because otherwise you're going to take someone who's already got all this stage fright and spooked them to the point they'll never do it again.
And you know what? I was in that situation last Sunday, and this is kind of what inspired this whole idea of a topic. One of our players, Beth, who is Pat's wife, ran a game, and she's run one or two one-shotty, very light Inspectors games, which is very fun and light and not a big deal. And that's really the extent of her running role-playing games. And she ran a Savage World steampunk game in a setting that was of her own creation, and it was two or three sessions that we played in, and which was a lot for someone who's never ran a game before that was a serious game. And I was sitting there, and the game was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed her style. I had like a couple of points of feedback that I could get her, but I was completely vapor locked because the game was over, and everyone's like, hey, that was great. Yes, we had a lot of fun. And everyone's silent, and I'm sitting there like, I didn't say this. I was saying this to my mind. I was like, I want to give you feedback. I don't want to scare you away. The problem isn't you. The problem is me. I don't think that she's a scared rabbit, and she's a pretty tough woman, and she could take it. But I didn't know, like,
you didn't trust yourself to do it gently?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, that was
Chad
part
had
of
a
it.
Lot to drink that night. And
he's been known to
fail his charisma role quite a few times when it comes to presenting feedback or criticism, to the point that I kind of see him being a little bit shell-shy about that, because I don't know what it is, but I've seen you fail that role a few times. You're a very charismatic person.
Absolutely.
But for some reason...
Yes, I am.
For some reason, when it comes to something like that, I've seen you have issues with that before.
I didn't, and I was totally locked up, other than saying, it's a great game, I had a good time, because I didn't want to overpraise, because I think that overpraising someone or giving false praise does them a disservice. Because it's like, if they produce a body of work, or they produce something, and they give it to you and say, what do you think? And you're like, it's terrible, but you say, hey, this is great. You're signing off on a terrible thing that they need to improve. It's not the end of the world, but that isn't going to improve them. It's not going to advance them. You're doing them a disservice. So I didn't want to give her too much praise. I didn't want to give her no praise. And I wanted to give her criticism, but I also didn't want to crush her, because Wayne's right. I can be really, really blunt and very harsh.
Are you saying that gamers have social interaction problems?
I don't have a social interaction problem. It's everybody else, damn it.
He has a social interaction opportunity.
That's right.
And it all depends on the person, because I know for myself, when I just finish a session, in my mind, my thought is, oh, wow, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. I just dropped the ball. I am so sorry, everyone. And I actually need that boost right then. But I'm fine with getting the actual feedback later. And I always ask for the feedback. And I think I want the feedback, but in reality, I fully admit, and I never realized it until thinking about it here tonight, what I really want right after the session
is
a little bit of praise to build myself up, let myself levelize over time, because sometimes after gaming, you've got the glow. As a GM, I kind of have the opposite. I have the... I'm nitpicking everything I did, and I can't get the full picture for a day or
It's true. You need a hug, but that's true about creating any work of art. All you see are mistakes, and all you see are, well, I could have done this better. But let's deconstruct this again. If you really, really do want criticism, how would you like to receive it? Do you want them to, right then and there, after they've all been gaming for 8 hours, give you badly thought out and badly presented advice? Or do you want them to give you decent advice that they've digested or thought of it? Or do you want advice at all? I know Stu asks for advice all the time, and I can't really think of anything that he can do that makes it better at that point. And sometimes maybe later I do, but for the most part, I'm just happy he's GMing and we're having a good game. And there might be some rough points, but there's nothing wrong enough with a game that I'm just happy to play a game. And so, you know, here's that brings up the topic
where the GM, terrible it is.
The GM asks for advice and nobody gives him advice. And he's like, well, they didn't tell you anything, you know, they didn't give me anything to prove it.
You're going to have two kinds of people. If there's no feedback at all, you're going to get somebody like Wayne who says, oh my God, it was horrible. They didn't say anything. It was terrible. Or you're going to get somebody like me going, nailed it. Yeah.
Well, let me deconstruct that thought. I think something we have to keep in perspective as we look at this is, yes, we want to do this well. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to up the ante and improve our form. Yes, part of any performance art, whether you're playing or game master and doing whatever, is putting yourself out there and opening yourself up for critique and whatnot. But at the same time, I think we do need to keep in perspective, this is a hobby.
Yeah. And this is a hobby with your friends.
And so I think Stork was kind of on the money. Mm-hmm. You know, when Stu's running a terrible game,
as is his wont,
as he's apparently wont to do, you know, you hit those horrible, horrible points. But no, seriously, when Stu's running a game, you know, is there really perhaps some sense in just saying, look, it's a hobby. I don't need to nitpick. You know, we were together, a bunch of friends had fun. If something's really bothering me, if I really have some major itch I wanted to scratch through this game that I'm just not getting the opportunity to, maybe it's worth talking about. But I mean, pick your battles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, do you really need to get on the Game Master about every little thing? I mean, you're with
you know,
friends.
That third NPC, you reuse that name twice.
Yeah.
See? It's like,
Chad, you used a different name for that NPC 3 times in one night.
Yeah, quit nitpicking. My game's awesome. You don't understand my art. I think that it's important, too, that I totally agree with you, Dan. You definitely need to pick your battles. You need to say, it's like, okay, am I getting a little too deep in the weeds here? And you need to balance it with, I don't want to do the person a disservice. They want to get better. I want them to get better. The group will be happier. They need my advice.
Well, and sometimes, you know, as a GM, getting the advice may not actually tell you anything to improve yourself, but it might tell you something about the player.
Yeah.
So, like, the advice the feedback I gave you, that tells you that one thing I'm looking for in a story is that discovery.
Yeah.
That tells you something about me as a player.
I have an even better one. When I run a game, we have Dawn, my wife, Sarah, your wife, you, Beth, and Pat. Pat will say, you don't give us enough stuff and you don't level us enough. You say, I'm not as hardcore about it as Pat is, but I kind of agree with him. And then Sarah, Dawn, and Beth will be like, I don't care about leveling. To me, that isn't like some great sea change that I need to make as a GM that tells me about my players. You know what?
If they're all being honest with you.
If they're all being honest with me. I can throw a couple of things towards Pat. I can throw a little bit towards Wayne and they're all happy. I think Sarah might like a little bit of leveling because of other things she said in other conversations. So I throw a little bit at her to see if she likes that.
Feedback can be a really good tool to tell you something about your players. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not improving you as a GM, you may be able to improve your game just by knowing what your player's actually interested in.
Right.
Maybe you misread someone.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Dan's point, I kind of have a little bit of a contention with it because of the fact that, speaking of for myself personally, I always want to improve my GMing skill set. I want to continue to hone it and have it improve. I've been GMing for like 30 some years. So, and I didn't even think of getting feedback from players for the first 20 years.
25 years.
Yeah, but when you're in your 20s, you know everything.
Well, yeah. So, and I look back at those games, and some of them were very fun, and some of it was cool, but a lot of it was just crap. And I wonder if I had taken the time, and if the players had been forthright with constructive criticism, if I would have improved as a GM faster, maybe in a period of a couple of years rather than decades.
There was a break in there, mind you.
There was about like an 8-year break. But I don't mind when, you know, the thing that kills me when I just finish a game session and I ask for feedback, I get, oh, it was great, it was fun. Was there anything you want to improve? Because I always ask that question. Is there anything that could have been better? Was there anything you had any problems with?
Is there anything you'd like to see is another one that I use.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And it's like, no, it was great. It was awesome. It was great. It drives me crazy.
let me answer this in a way, because I've played in, I think, all your games recently.
You think I'm going to hit you?
No. not at all. You're asking for feedback, and now all of a sudden I'm delving my brain to try to come up with something to tell you. And sometimes it's not even well thought out. It's like, oh my god, he wants notes. Well, there was the third NPC who used the same voice, and I'm like, I am in no condition to give you decent feedback because we've just played for 5 hours, and second, I'm actually enjoying the game. I don't really have any feedback right now. I actually thought it was great, and that's not feedback. That's praise, and that doesn't do you any good. It's a sticky situation for a player to be in sometimes too. Everybody's different. Some people have thoughts right then and there. Some people need to think about it, and as a player that needs to think about it, I would like to send you an email, a very long one.
All right.
Well, actually, right. it's really short.
Speaking only for myself, I have certainly had times where I've run games where I was really interested in what the people thought and what I could do to make it better for them. There are other times where I've got a lot going on in my life, and quite frankly, I don't want to hear whatever it is you have to say. You know, I don't want to say I was punching the time clock, but I mean, to some extent, it almost felt that way. You know, we often talk about making sure you understand what it is your players want out of a game. I think in the same way, there is a good question to be asked and some communication to be had in terms of asking the game master, how do you want to receive feedback? So here's what I'd like to do. For the five of us, because I know at least the three of us game master, and Stu, I know you game master. Stork, do you game master as well?
I've just been cons recently. I just haven't not been able to get
it. Okay, all right.
Going.
So you've done some.
I feel bad about that now all of a sudden.
You should feel bad about it.
Terrible.
You should feel horrible about it.
Terrible person.
The cross-hatching of my lawn is also way off.
But I told you.
Look, we brought beer. It made sense at the time.
But here's how I would like to receive feedback. And I'd be curious to hear the same thing from you guys as well, just kind of in brief. For me, I think there's two things that I would want. One, tell me later. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, it's too fresh in your mind. It's too fresh in my mind. We haven't had time to process it. We're all tired. Take some time to think about it. Secondly, when you give it to me, there is a way to state the negative in the positive. For example, this is one that
I love your game, or I really love your
game. Yes, exactly. No, there was one that I think it was John who gave this to me. I don't remember for sure. My games tend to be very heavy on intrigue and socialization and things like that. And he wanted to see a little bit more combat. And he was able to say to me, I'd like to see more action in your games. He didn't present it to me as, your games are too much talking and they're too boring.
Too much talky-talky, not enough stabby-stabby.
Yeah, you know, he was able to say what he wanted in a positive form. And I think for someone like me, who has, I mean, not super thin skin, but fairly thin skin, hearing that feedback in the positive is a lot more productive. It gets through to me much better than hearing it in the negative. Wayne, what about you?
I haven't been gaming for as long as everyone around here. I mean, I've only been gaming for 4 or 5 years, only been running for 2. So I may not really know what I want, but what I think I want for feedback. At the time when I ask, you know, how was it? At that point, I want real light.
You want the hug.
Not always just a hug. Like when I say specifically, what would you like to see? I really want to hear, well, I'd like a little bit of combat next week, or I'd like a chance to do this. I really do want that there. I don't want the criticism. I want the, here's what I'd like next. And then after the glow of the game has settled down for the players, and after after I'm done beating myself up before the game, then I'm ready for, hey, I had this thought. And probably, I hate to say over email, because email is so toneless and there's such a chance of it backfiring and reading the wrong thing into it. But to be honest, I think I'd rather see it over email, because I know that for most of the players around the table, they'll think about it more and they'll get the wording they want better if they put it in an email. And that may just depend on the group.
But. Yeah. And you're not even talking like tomes and tomes and tomes of text.
No.
That, I mean, just like a couple of lines. Because, you know, players, you can barely get them to write a backstory.
Yeah, if you send me a couple paragraphs, I'm
oh my God. Don't get us started on that. Well, here's kind of a question that involving that. Is there advice you don't want, or is there bad advice that people give you that you ignore? I mean, what are you looking for when you're asking for advice?
I'm going to answer that.
Okay.
I want criticism.
All right. Well, you have a thick skin, too. You can take it.
I want to know what I did wrong.
Right.
Specifically.
I agree. I want actionable items.
Yes.
I don't know. The feel of the game was off. What?
I will certainly agree with I want actionable items. Yeah. I have a thinner skin than Stu does. Mm. So I'm not sure that I go so far as to say I want criticism. Once again, I'll go back to I'd much rather hear it phrased in a positive form, but I certainly do want actionable items. Yeah. Put in more fights. I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The last thing I want to hear, I'm about ready to start running a game, so I'm going to hear a lot of this now, is the feel of the game was just off, or something just wasn't right. It's like, what, did your hippie crystals tell you this? Come on, let's give you something real here.
When you run a hippie game, you got to have hippie feedback.
Can your plot be a little more purple?
Yes. I don't know. That NPC is just a little impassioned, and I don't know how I feel about this. And give me more loot. Give me more experience. I want more combat. I want less combat.
Stop making me write your plot for you.
No, that's not going to happen.
I had a situation when we were running a 4th edition D&D game years ago now, and I would always ask for feedback at the end of the game. And this is a huge group. I mean, I think we were up to 11 or 12 people at one point.
Oh, my God. That's not a huge group. That's two groups.
Maybe three.
Three around a table.
Yeah, 4-hour combats. So it was awful. But I would always ask for feedback, and everyone would say, well, it's fine. You know, and then usually afterwards, someone would say, dude, you got to split the group up or something. There's just too many people, right? But I did have one session where one of the players hung back afterwards, and we played until, I don't know what, midnight or...
at least, yeah,
sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. And he kind of stayed, basically kind of sober up. And we were sitting in the backyard, and finally he's like, you know, something about the game that's been kind of... I have a question about. And he basically told me... Yeah, it was Bruce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, you know, there's all these little plot hooks that you're dropping, and we're only picking up a few of them, and there's all these little clues, and we just can't piece it all together. And I'm like, oh, all right. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it was because we only played once every other month, so no one could remember what happened the last session. Changed the way I GM, because I started very specifically giving them a synopsis at the beginning of the game. Okay, here's the people you met. Here are the things that you found out in the last session. And these tie in with these things, and kind of helping them synthesize all that stuff. And it worked. I realized the fact that it was a very complex plot.
Very.
And if it had been weekly, it might have worked. But even then, it probably would have needed help. But I had to help the players to be able to retain everything from a session that happened 2 months ago. For some reason, I can remember it fine, but they can't.
Well, because of that note, you took on the rule of three. When you're ever giving a clue out, you give out three.
Right.
Three of them, not just one. You changed a lot of things. It helped a lot. And that's a note that we've talked about on our podcast as well.
That was given to me as a real solid criticism. It was, you know, that here's the problem we're having. It was given in person, which I think was important in this case because I had a lot of questions. And I wanted to really hone in on what I was doing wrong, or more specifically, what I could change about how I was GMing that would fix it. The thing with email, you don't have that sort of immediate back and forth conversation where I can stop you and say, okay, what do you mean by that?
Right. It's just a list of complaints.
Right, right.
And you took it like a man when he told you, right?
I cried.
So I think if I was to summarize this one, it seems like the punchline really is, if you don't know, ask your game master and see what it is they want.
And don't assume they actually know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another possibility. And there might be some kind of back and forth. And game masters...
Oh, my God. It's like dealing with my wife.
My wife is in the gaming group. Gaming is dealing with my wife. And Chad's wife.
That's right.
And... And, you know, some of it may be, yeah, they don't know exactly what they want, and they just want to snuggle, and you want something else out of the game.
I'm usually the one that wants to snuggle.
We're laughing, but it, you know what? There's some truth to that.
There is?
Yeah, there is. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, we are joined by Stu and Stork, who are from the Happy Jacks podcast. I'll put a link to that in the show note.
Who is Happy Jack?
It's named after a song I wrote a long time ago.
Oh, that's boring.
It's called
it
Happy Jack's Undrinkable Ale.
Oh, sounds like a challenge.
Or pornography.
You should never try it. Trust me. He had some once. It really was truly undrinkable.
I used to homebrew, and it was an early attempt.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes. And once again, since we're recording two tonight, they will be joining us next week as well. And we will be over on their feed. So be sure to be watching their feed if you want to hear. It's probably going to be me and John. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games. Stu and Stork, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2013. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.